Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. Well, about one-third of the nearly 3,000 Iowa National Guard soldiers deployed to Afghanistan are back in the U.S. and awaiting reunions with their families and friends. The soldiers have returned to Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, with homecoming plans, ceremonies planned over the next month, including those today in Cedar Rapids, Boone, and Johnston, where 185 soldiers will be welcomed home. Guard spokesman Colonel Greg Hapgood said about 1,000 soldiers arrived from Afghanistan on Tuesday and Wednesday. The rest will arrive over the next 10 days. The soldiers are spending time at Fort McCoy for debriefing and to turn in their weapons and equipment. One of those soldiers is Griswold resident and Cass County Sheriff's Deputy Ryan Johnson. Sergeant First Class Johnson just returned from his second tour of duty in Afghanistan. Soldiers sent to the country comprise the largest single deployment of Iowa National Guard troops since World War II. News time is 9:01.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
La Vista, Nebraska police say a suspected drunken driver ran a red light and hit an unmarked police car that was in the intersection. Police Chief Bob Lawson says the detective involved in Wednesday evening's crash was taken to a hospital as precaution. His name has not been released. The other vehicle rolled after the collision, but Lawson said no one inside was hurt. The driver, 38-year-old Jeff Gunderson of Missouri Valley, was arrested on suspicion of DUI and careless driving. His passenger was arrested on an unrelated warrant out of Sarpy County, Nebraska. The Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund Committee has announced plans for the third annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament to be held Saturday, August 13th at the Nishna Hills Golf Course. Fredrickson, the son of Darren and Melanie Petty of Atlantic and Gary and Carrie Fredrickson of Council Bluffs, lost his life in a 2009 residential fire in Council Bluffs. In his honor, a four-person best ball tournament will begin at 9 a.m. August 13th. Prizes will be awarded in three flights and on every hole, including the opportunity to win a brand new car on Detter Motor Company's Hole in One. A silent auction, t-shirt sales, and free will donation meal will be held all day in the clubhouse with the public invited to attend. That meal will consist of a hot dog or hamburger, chips, and homemade cookie and bar. Proceeds from the events have funded three annual scholarships and donations to a variety of recipients, including the Atlantic Food Pantry, the AHS Athletic Department, school and public libraries, Friends of Lake Anita's Fishing Clinic, Kiwanis Club Bicycle Helmet Program, Cass County Fair, and many more such programs. And to date, over $15,500 has been dispersed to various groups and organizations. For information about sponsoring a hole or donating to the silent auction, you can contact Melanie Petty at 712-249-3696. Elsewhere in the news this morning, the supervisor of a renovation project in downtown Des Moines has been given 3 years probation for his role in the illegal removal of asbestos from the building. Russell Coco pleaded guilty to two asbestos removal charges in February. A federal judge sentenced Coco on Wednesday to two probation terms of 3 years and to be served concurrently for supervising the removal of asbestos from the Equitable building in a violation of the Clean Air Act. Coco and Des Moines developer Bob Knapp were accused of gutting several floors while large amounts of asbestos were present and then improperly disposing of it. Knapp, who owned the building, also pleaded guilty to two asbestos removal charges. He was sentenced last month to more than 3 years in prison. The director of an animal shelter says costly prescription dog and cat food has been stolen from a locked shed in Des Moines. Police say thieves broke off a padlock on the shed Monday night and took the food supplies owned by Animal Lifeline of Iowa. Shelter director Martha Witkowski says that she can't figure out why anyone would steal food from the animals her organization is trying to help. She estimated the loss at a little less than $1,600. Witkowski said she hopes whoever did this feels really bad and she hopes the police catch them. The government has auctioned off a former Iowa man's large coin collection to pay off expenses related to his conviction on weapons charges. The coins seized from 64-year-old Robert Neusel recently fetched more than $21,000 at an auction under an execution order from the U.S. Marshals Service. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Cedar Rapids said the money paid off Neusel's court fines and reimbursed the government for the federal public defender who represented him. Neusel, who's formerly of Fort Atkinson, claimed that he could not afford an attorney after he was charged in 2009. Prosecutors say he was pulled over while driving toward Minnesota after warning his wife he was coming to kill her and her family, and officers found several weapons. He pleaded guilty to three counts of possessing unregistered firearms. A former Clinton doctor has been sentenced to 1 year and 1 day in federal prison for distributing drugs without a legitimate medical purpose. The U.S. Attorney's Office at 68-year-old Luis Barrios was sentenced Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Davenport. Barrios pleaded guilty last month to 18 counts of distributing controlled substances, including methadone, oxycodone, amphetamine, Adderall, and hydrocodone without a legal legitimate medical purpose and outside the scope of a legitimate medical practice. He was indicted on the charges in September of 2009. At his sentencing, a judge told Barrios his conduct was serious because he repeatedly abused his position as a doctor by prescribing drugs to a vulnerable person. Republican Tim Pawlenty says he won't sign a pledge written by a conservative Iowa group that asks presidential candidates to denounce same-sex marriage rights, pornography, and forms of Islamic law. Pawlenty said Wednesday he agrees with the principles behind the family leader's marriage vows, but he says he prefers to, quote, choose my own words, especially seeking to show compassion to those who are in broken families through no fault of their own. The former Minnesota governor is the second major candidate to decline the pledge, following former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney's decision on Tuesday. Two Republicans, Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann and former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, have signed it. Pawlenty's announcement coincides with the release of a new radio ad and web video where he and his wife discuss their faith. Former Humboldt City Administrator is out of prison and on probation for stealing about $100,000 from a nonprofit group and the city. Lori Rickliffe pleaded guilty in January to first-degree theft and felonious misconduct in office. She was sentenced to 10 years in prison, and in May she asked the court to reconsider her prison sentence. Rickliffe was released from custody of the Iowa Department of Corrections following a court order on Wednesday that she served 3 years of probation rather than finish her prison term. She admitted stealing the money from Mid-Iowa Growth Partnership, a nine-county economic development group, and the city of Humboldt from 2007 to 2010. She's been ordered to pay restitution. Des Moines police say a man who was stabbed several times earlier this month has died. 21-year-old Paris Smith of Des Moines died at a hospital. He was stabbed on July the 2nd. And he died Wednesday. Police believe Smith was trying to break up a fight when he was attacked. Four people were arrested. Three men are currently charged with attempted murder. A fourth was being held as a material witness and on a warrant. The Iowa Court of Appeals has ruled against a Coralville woman's claim that the state's law covering an insanity defense is unconstitutional. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
Michelle Kehoe was convicted of first-degree murder, attempted murder, and child endangerment resulting in serious injury after she took her 7 and 2-year-old boys to a pond in Jessup in October of 2008 and slit their throats with a hunting knife, then tried to commit suicide. The suicide attempt was unsuccessful. Kehoe then went to a nearby home and called police and said she was attacked and a man tried to kill her and her children. The 2-year-old died, but the 7-year-old boy survived. Kehoe was unsuccessful in using an insanity defense in her trial. She appealed, saying the legal standard for an insanity defense was unconstitutional and that her lawyer was ineffective. The appeals court ruling says it is the primary function of the legislative branch to declare what the law shall be, and the court should strike it down only with profound reluctance and only when it clearly falls outside the basic charter of government. The court says the insanity provision challenge in this case clearly withstands scrutiny under this standard, and it upheld Kehoe's conviction on all the charges. I'm Dar Danielson.
And the mother of a Cedar Rapids toddler is dropping a wrongful death lawsuit against the child's father and his ex-girlfriend, who are charged with first-degree murder in the girl's death. Cameron Schlitter died in March of 2010, 1 week after medics found her suffering from seizure-like symptoms at a Hiawatha apartment. Her death was ruled a homicide. The toddler's mother, Nicole King, filed for dismissal of the lawsuit on July the 7th. In the lawsuit, she accused Zaria Schlitter of Cedar Rapids and Amy Palmer of Hiawatha of causing her daughter's death. King's attorney, Mark Liabo, was out of his office until Friday, and a victim's advocate said that King declined to comment on why she was dropping the lawsuit. Taking a look at national and world headlines at this hour, Americans have been spending more on cars and in big chain stores, but retail sales overall posted a modest increase of just 0.1% last month. A rebound from supply disruptions caused by the Japan crisis helped to push auto sales up 0.8%, and sales of general merchandise stores rose 0.4%. Although some Republicans are rejecting a proposal from Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell that would give President Obama greater power to push through an increase in the debt limit, the plan is winning praise from Republican John McCain of Arizona and Democratic leader Harry Reid of Nevada. And Obama is quoting as commending McConnell during yesterday's negotiations at the White House for putting forward a proposal. Some flights are being delayed or canceled at Denver International Airport this morning following a hailstorm that stranded about 1,000 passengers last night. An airport spokeswoman says the planes that were damaged must be examined, and that's slowing down operations. Some of the planes are being taken out of service because of the hail damage. And stocks have been edging higher after the government reported a decline in the number of people seeking unemployment benefits, and as J.P. Morgan Chase announced strong earnings. The Labor Department reported applications for unemployment benefits fell to a three-month low last week, a sign that companies are laying off fewer workers. At 405,000, the figure is still above the 375,000 mark that signals healthy job growth. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up nearly 82 points. The S&P 500 is up about a little more than 8 points. The NASDAQ is up about 19.5 points. News time is 9:11.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi. This is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
And in our funeral announcements, 86-year-old Glenn Deerdorf of Yale died Monday. Funeral services for Glenn Deerdorf will be today at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. 59-year-old Robert Bob Harry Stringer Jr. of Menlo died Tuesday. Funeral services for Harry Stringer Jr. will be held Friday at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. 93-year-old Dorothy Callison of Audubon died Tuesday. Funeral services for Dorothy Callison will be on Saturday at 2 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. 80-year-old Jacqueline Myshock of Atlantic died Tuesday. A memorial service for Jacqueline Myshock will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic, with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. 93-year-old Carrie Jensen of Audubon died Monday. Funeral services for Carrie Jensen will be Saturday at 2:30 at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church west of Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. And 46-year-old Gloria Wyrick of Atlantic died Tuesday at her home. Services for Gloria Wyrick will be held Monday at 10 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic, with the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news here on KJAN, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson reporting.